Well, we're excited about our second speaker today, and that is Dr. Ted Patterson. And we sure appreciate him. Our church, Crossroads Baptist Church, had the wonderful privilege back in 1994 of sending him and his family back to Jacksonville, Arkansas, near his home where he planted the Jacksonville Baptist Temple there in Jacksonville, Arkansas. I had the privilege of being with the group and the team. Went there for a week or so, knocked on doors, held services, and what a special time that was to see God inaugurate a ministry and God authenticate a man for the work of ministry. And of course, the rest has been history. Since then, his church has been a great missions-hearted church. They've raised up many young men, preachers, started several churches out of his church down in Arkansas and other places, Mississippi and in the South, and even had the privilege of sending a foreign missionary over to the field of Uganda out of their church. Great heart for missions, world evangelization, great heart for soul winning. And Dr. Ted Patterson is a people person who is a selfless individual. Give you the shirt off his back, and suffer himself so that someone else can benefit. And he has done that with his own resources, with his church, with his own family, and driven all around this country just to show his face to support people in need. He has that kind of a heart. He hears of a need, hears of a burden, hears of somebody struggling, hears of someone that needs encouragement, and does everything he can, goes beyond the call of duty to support that person and to be a blessing. Has a wonderful, wonderful, godly wife who loves the Lord and keeps that ministry going. She wears every hat except for pastor, and she doesn't wear that hat. She just hands him his hat, amen, and makes sure he puts it on right. But and then precious family now serving with him, and certainly appreciate them and the wonderful opportunity. He has been a great leader in COBA amongst all of the COBA guys, and a great rallier behind the cause over and over and over again. Always been a blessing. Been a great encouragement before I ever got to Crossroads, screaming out, 1989, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Southwide Baptist Fellowship, yelling his head off there, came to Crossroads and picked up right where he left off in Tennessee, and he's been like that in spirit over the years. Personally, to me, he's been a dear friend and a great support. They stayed in our home for some time before they went to Arkansas. I've stayed in their home, talked many, many hours. I used to talk to him when I was driving and tired, and I've had about an hour and a half left. I said, if I can get Pastor Patterson to answer the phone, he'll talk me till I get home. And it'll be interesting. We weren't going to fall asleep, and we'd talk about this and that and dream and this and that and the other. And he has been a blessing. I can still remember a very, 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 very precious time in my life where him and his wife stood beside me like no one else would, and I will never, ever forget that, forever be indebted to them. He is a blessing to me, and the members of Jacksonville are privileged to have him pastoring there. So let's welcome today as our second speaker for this morning, Dr. Ted Patterson, pastor of Jacksonville Baptist Temple, Jacksonville, Arkansas.
It's always good to come home, and again, as Brother Hart said, and other men have said as well, it's home. It is the only place that that I could come here without prayer. I'd need a phone call. I wouldn't even pray about it. At any time since from 1994, if Pastor Baldwin had told me, Ted, I need you back at Jacksonville, I wouldn't even pray about it. It wouldn't have been anything for me to pray about. So it just, and it wouldn't be, and I wouldn't have brought anything back. They take everything we left there, they can have it. I'm coming on back home because I understand it. I understood it at that time. It ain't much different now. As a matter of fact, my son wish I would go. He's waiting on the call. Dad, anybody call you? Because he pawed in the valley trying to get after something. But I do appreciate what the Lord has done, what the Lord is doing. And I don't make a joke about that. I love the local church. I love my pastor, and I love what God has done, what God's doing. Love his son. Love the pastor of Crossroads Baptist Church. Love the church. And just indebted. I just feel indebted to Crossroads Baptist Church and the membership of Crossroads Baptist Church, particularly those that were here in 1990 when I came, endured first few months till I adjusted to that time. And Pastor as well, your church members, some of your dear friends I run off that were here during that time. And I didn't mean to. It wasn't my intent, you know, to do that as well. I was young and I was excited about the things of God. And Pastor was preaching the word of God. And if we hadn't said something, the rocks were going to cry. So I just got on in on it at that time. And that's what it was. Amen. But we do appreciate it. It hadn't changed very much, by the way. But I do appreciate what the Lord's doing. Appreciate my wife for nearly 28 years. Honey, if you would, please. And everything that Pastor Kenny just said about that, we do appreciate her. Appreciate her, my children as well, and their service to the Lord. And all of that would have been, my kids, stand kids, if you would, all of that would have really been in vain. I'd have overlooked all of that if it had not been for Crossroads Baptist Church. Little Eddie was mother's son. Larry, where are you? There he is. And all of that would have been in vain without coming here. Just a young fella. Not an excuse, but I didn't have a dad. I didn't know anything about raising a kid. I tell a lot of guys in that particular situation, you have a better relationship with your children, particularly your son, when they're older than you will when they're younger. You don't know what you're doing. I know how to raise a man. I'm one. I know about that. I know how to fellowship with a man, things like that. A teenager, I didn't... That's a different animal right there altogether. I mean, you know, when I came up now, kids ought to be seen, not heard. Go on now. All right? Go on out the way now. And so just coming across those Baptist churches changed the perspective of a lot of things for me. And it helped me. It helped me. Watching Pastor Mike, Pastor Kenny, watching Pastor's relationship with his family. I mean, that was a big help, man. And seeing the other preacher guys and things of this nature, man, it's a huge help to me, a huge blessing. Without that aspect of my life, my children would not, I don't know if they serve God. I don't know. One thing I heard Brother Kenny say, and some other men have said this as well, that I had going for me, and that was this, is that Dad was sincere. He was the same in the ministry, pulpit, as he was at home. That's about all I had, is that I was sincere. I was sincere about the call of God. I was sincere about God's purpose for my life, for the church. And that's about it. Now, that's enough, I thought, at that time. That's enough. That's plenty, man. Because I just felt like, as Brother Patterson mentioned the other day, I said, God, I'm going to take care of your work, and then you're going to take care of my family. But that ain't the way that's supposed to work. And just by the grace of God, at the appropriate time, I got a little help about that. And it was right here at Crossroads Baptist Church. And my wife, my marriage, all of that would have been in jeopardy if I had not been a member of Crossroads Baptist Church during the time in which I was a member of this church. Make no mistake about it. I am what I am by the grace of God and help Lou Baldwin. Amen. And all the good we give to the Lord and things of that nature, all the grooming that's given to Pastor Baldwin, I'll take credit for all the bad stuff. And it's a bunch of it. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, if you would please. Thank you, Dr. Sieber, for the message. Appreciate your heart there as well and the truth of the Word of God. And it is an absolute fact. All of us know that. If you are in a trial now, and many of us are, or you have just come through a trial, and you're looking forward to the next, I trust, because there will be another one. It makes no mistake about it. There are going to be trials. We've seen them in our ministry of 20 years here at COBA. We've seen trials. They should have been expected. They obviously were not. But there are going to be trials. No one bats 100%. It's an impossibility. And those misses are tune-ups. But we're not going to bat 100%. Preacher, you're not going to bat 100%. There's no sense in looking around at your ministry. There's no sense in looking down. You need to keep looking up. The next ball, come hit it. And take it out of the ballpark. That's just the way it is. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we find the lesson here about cherishing memories, if you would, and friendships that we've met over the years. And not just in the 20 years of COVID, but friendships we've met over the years. And how we cherish those relationships and cherish those friendships from the top to the bottom. Not just Pastor Lewis Ball and his family, but, of course, as I said, Pastor Mike and Pastor Kenny and all of the relationships we've met, the 20-some-odd pastors and their families, relationships that we cherish. These young preachers that are coming up that we've entitled Young Guns, these young fellows that's coming up and we train them right. They're not pushing us anywhere. And they're not threatening us. If we don't do this and do that, we're going to go do something else. And they're not taking bribes. I don't know how many of them had told my son, ask him, want to hire him or take him away, whatever else as well. And none of these kids, they're not taking any of that kind of stuff. They're waiting upon the leadership of the Lord. They're following the leadership of their pastor and family. And we're respecting these men. We've learned that here. We're respecting these young men. And I'm telling you the truth now, these guys can flat get it. When it comes not just to singing, you've seen here, these guys can flat preach. I mean, flat get it. And we're excited about that. Excited about it. Dr. Bud Calvert, one of the greater compliments that you can get there and just June down there as well. Brother Kenny finished preaching, and he said, man, I don't even know the words he had mentioned about, can't quote him. But he said, I didn't think there was but one Kenny Ball. That guy preached the leather off of him. Just a young fellow, he preached the word of God. And some other fellows can preach God's word. And that's a blessing. That's what we should expect to happen. That's what's supposed to take place in a loving local New Testament church where God's in it. I'm excited about that. Excited about these young kids that's coming up just today. I get fooled when I think about it. Because I'm not a youth guy, but I enjoy being around them. It helps me stay younger when I know I'm getting older. I stick around these fellas a while. And I can't play ball with them, but I can drive them to the ballpark. Sit there and enjoy the game. Amen. And just stay with them a little bit. Hang with those guys. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, if you would please. Appreciate all my preacher friends. And man, thank you for your love and support for me and my. We're trying to love and support you and what God's called you to do. And I trust the message this morning would be a help and encouragement. It did me a lot of good just kind of looking over some things and thinking about some things. And I'm going to get right to it, I trust, in just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Paul writes, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their heart, their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also unto all them also that love his appearance. Do thou diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Timothy to Dimatea. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Our Father, we thank you for the words of God this morning. Thank you for all that we've heard since Monday night. And it's been a blessing, Lord God, to hear those two men of God, and then Tuesday, those three men of God, and then last night, night before last, the two men of God, and then last night, Lord, two of your men serving the mount of the pulpit again with thy blessings upon their life, and we're thankful for that as well. Thank you for Dr. Siebel, the great church there in Hampton Roads, good people, Lord God, who've loved their pastor, follow the leadership of the man of God, and are expected and anticipating doing great things for your name's sake. We're thankful for that as well. And then, Lord, in just a moment, another one of thy choice servants will come before your people, Lord, empower him as you have done in time past. May it be a blessing to us and a help. And I trust to be that as well. I want to be a help and I want to be a blessing. Lord, I want to be used of the Lord. And I pray that you help me. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All of my life as a little boy, I cried quite a bit, particularly when I didn't have my way. And I fought as you got a little bit older, you fought against this. And I said, I thought I had got it fixed. I'd never cry again. As a young man, lost man, I was trying to be tough, and I was about to figure this thing out because I was tired of crying as a little fella. And so when I got a little bigger again, I did everything I needed to do to kind of get the tough skin on me. I'm pretty tough on the outside. And then I got saved by the grace of God, and then he loosened the thing up again. And, boy, it's just a mess. And just about every year, I got to get one loose. And we're coming up on anniversary service, and I don't even want to go because all it's going to be is just a crying mess of a pastor of 20 years. I don't like to reflect much because I just start crying and carrying on. And Kenny doesn't help a bit. He's normally just get it, lead it off, and here it goes, son. It's just a mess. But we appreciate what the Lord's doing. And it's not a sign of weakness. It was for me early on. It was a sign of weakness when I was a young man as well. And for those who don't weep every now and then, just shows me that you hadn't really grown much in the Lord. And you will at one point or time or the other. You'll quit. You'll cry, quit the ministry. You'll cry, you won't serve God. You'll cry, you'll get out of church. I don't care how tough you are on the outside. You're going to go through some things that God's going to deal with your heart. And you can resist the leadership of the Lord on your life. And you can resist the emotions that's a part of the human life as well. But you won't be around God long. You won't be around the things of God long. And you sure ain't going to help anybody. The folk going to break your heart and let you down. The Apostle Paul is believed, written this letter here to Timothy in his departing times. Nearly 30 plus years of the Apostle Paul's ministry and countless number of churches has been established by this good man of God, this great man of God. And all of a sudden now he is in prison. He is facing death. Many believe that he did not die at this particular time, but it wasn't but about a year or so later on, arrested again and then a loss of life. And so Paul calls Timothy several things. He mentioned to Timothy, I'm going to get to those in just a moment. But this great apostle, great servant of God, knows that his time is up. In verse number 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." So before this great man of God would go off the scene, before this great man of God will die, he has some departing words, and they're great truths here as well. He starts off in verse number 1. He said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to Timothy now, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance in his kingdom." He said, "Timothy, preach the word." Here's a man now that's looking at death. He's looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, soon to be departed. The apostleship is soon to be gone. He has nothing no more to worry about. There's nothing else he can do at this particular time. And so he says to his protege, Timothy, "Come, son, quickly." But before, he said, "I want you to do this for me. I want you to continue to preach the word." Now, that's what got Paul in trouble. But he wanted Timothy to preach the word. He said, secondly, he wanted him to prepare to witness. Thirdly, to plan for the welfare of mankind. Preach the word, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ according to the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's the same gospel that had been committed unto Paul. That's the same gospel that Paul had received. That's the same gospel Paul had shared in the churches all over the world where he had preached and ministered to. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He knew it was the power of God unto salvation, whosoever would believe. He understood it. He knew it. He wasn't ashamed of it. Even in these trials, he preached the gospel. He said, "Timothy, preach the gospel, preach the word." Preparation of witness. The goal was to be instant, Timothy, in season and out of season. The reason was, it's in verse number 3, he said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." So preach the word. Be ready in season. Be ready out of season, because there's going to come a time that the Cobra guys are going to be preaching. Other men are going to be preaching. And there's going to be a group of people who are not going to be interested in hearing the word of God. I don't know what your season is right now, fellas, where you're working, but you better preach the word, because there's going to come a time when folk ain't going to want it. Maybe some church members are going to be tired of it. Maybe the folk down the street. If there's not a lot of migration going on in your area, if there's not a lot of folk coming in and out, if there's not enough young people being born in your city, it's going to run a drought quickly where you pastor. And so you better get it while it's going good, hot, ready, because that's going to come a drought. In season means to be ready and constant in this duty, to be always at your post, always at your post, embracing every opportunity of making the gospel known. The thought of out of season means to seek opportunity to preach the gospel when it is inconvenient for yourself. When it seems to be a hindrance, when it seems to risk of embarrassment, he says, preach the word. Preach the words in the break room at work. Preach the word in the marketplaces where you go. Preach the word at seminars. Preach the words on the street corner. Preach the word. There's going to come a time, and it may be right now, where people are not going to endure sound biblical preaching. So, boy, why is hot preaching? Preach the word. In season, out of season. Preach it when they want to hear it, preach it. Preach it when they don't want to hear it, preach it. Preach it when you don't feel like preaching. Preach it when you know you're going to be stoned or in prison. Preach the word. That's what he said to Timothy, preach the word, plan for the welfare of mankind. Timothy, not only are you going to preach the word or preach the Bible, but Timothy, there ought to be some things in that preaching. Now, it ought not be man-led, it ought to be Holy Ghost-led, but in that Bible preaching, there ought to be some reproof there. There ought to be a way that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ or the preaching of the word of God persuade man, convinces man, woman, boy, and girl who's listening, who's troubled, who's looking at another gate, another way out. It ought to persuade them or convince them to sit still. As we heard, stand still and see the salvation of God. The preaching of the word of God ought to convince men, ought to convict men, women, boys and girls, as the gospel is being preached. As it's being preached. It ought to do that in the hearts of men. Then he said to rebuke, to silence critics, to put men and women, boys and girls in check, to restrain the flesh in your preaching. Then exhortation, to warn, to caution with all long-suffering and doctrine. With gentleness and truth. With a warning, men, boys and girls, about the truth. What's out there for you? What's coming on as well? And boy, we're under assault right now, the world. But it's, every time you turn your television on, somebody got God. Tyler Perry got him. He got God somewhere. He cussed a little bit, but he still got God. I've never seen so much nudity until I started watching movies that were produced by Christians. I've not seen so many personal things talked about that would never have been said or shown until I watched some of Jake's movies. These preachers of the God, they're trying to keep it real. No, it's real, all right. It's sinful and wicked. We didn't need any help with that. That aspect of we didn't need any help with. And all that stuff is permeating into our communities now. And boy, we're reaching for and trying to find leadership anywhere. And anybody black show up, anybody black does something, we race to it. It's destroying our young boys and girls. Strong. We don't need any help making liberals out of our young boys and girls. They got enough of that. Somebody needs to resist liberalism. Somebody needs to resist compromise. We don't have a lot of time left. Preach the word. Preach the word. We don't preach politics unless we have to. We don't preach the Democrat or Republican unless we have to. We don't tell folk how to vote unless we have to. That's not, we don't have to unless we have to. And the only way we'll know if you're voting for the wrong one or you're behind the wrong one, then we may have to say something about it. You ought not support anybody that'll kill babies. Never, never. I don't care what party they're associated with. If they're murdering babies, if they're killing babies, if they're supporting killing human beings or taking life, you ought not support them. I just don't think you should. All right, that's enough politics, all right? I'm about to run for something. I feel a call coming on. I feel like if this worked someplace else, I may run for something. Get me a sign up, amen. Paul is on his deathbed, but he's not letting up. Paul never looked for the easy way out. He never looked for the smooth road. He never looked for pleasure. Paul's desire was to fulfill God's will for his life. That was paramount in the life of the Apostle Paul, was to fulfill the will of God. Yeah. Fulfill God's calling. Preach the word. Prepare for witness. Plan for the welfare of mankind. And then Paul said, Timothy, the proposal, work shortage. Now, whoa, stoppage. What do you mean? He said there in verse number 9, Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Well, Paul wasn't on the mission field at this particular time. He wasn't in one of those Macedonian churches. He wasn't doing those kind of things. He was really restricted at this particular time. Paul's in prison. He wasn't able to do as much as he has done before. We wouldn't call what Paul is doing right now much ministry. If we got a prayer letter from him at this particular time, we were supporting the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. He's witnessing the guards, folks, a few folk getting saved, other things going on. We would be prayerful for him, and our prayer would be, Lord, get him out now, because this $50 a month needs to go someplace else if he stays in jail. I need to get this. Ain't no churches being planted in the prison. And if he don't get out of there soon, we need to take this mission money and start putting it somewhere, because our people are expecting the number to go up. The number of salvation to go up, the number of baptisms to go up. And we read mission letters for two things: to see how many were saved, how many was baptized, so we can add it to our list just in case we didn't have anybody saved or baptized in our church. We can claim those. And so we want to make sure that our prayer letters constantly says what's going on, so we can make sure that we're continually growing, our money is continually working as well. And so he said, Timothy, I want you to take a work shortage now, and I want you to come to me. And we've learned that. Go with me to the book of Mark, if you would, please. The book of Mark. We've learned the importance of that. I'm trying to learn it. In Mark chapter number 6, we got to come apart before we come apart. This full week of a COBA conference is just a time to come apart before we come apart. It's really a time to work stops, really. It had to stop because it's been time for all our church members up here. We've come on Sunday morning. We've come Sunday nights. We've come throughout the week. We've come caravans. Some would come, and then others would come. It's just been like that, different places. Some of us have had someone to stay behind the church to minister. Some have not. And so at some point in time, there was just an absolute work shortage. For whatever reason, and the pastor, whoever was leading there, whoever was the pastor, felt the leadership of the Lord to have a work stoppage for just a little bit to come and refresh, to come and get under the word of God and get around the people of God. And we see in Mark chapter 6 in verse number 30, Jesus said, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Now, we don't work as hard as those apostles at that particular time, but the principle is still there. Every now and then, we got to come apart before we come apart. And it does us good to just come and sit and listen and see and imagine. Imagine what could take place. Imagine that choir. And now we Mike is so talented, we couldn't really see a whole lot there because we could never do what he does. But then his son pops up. And so now that's a little fella. That's a young guy as well. We look at him. Now, he's talented too. God's hands on him as well. But maybe we can look a little bit at what he's doing and see what's going on. The singers that come, they're younger, and it's not as massive as the big mass choir crossroad, but we can look at singers, and we look at an ensemble. We can see some things that we can begin to ask God for and believe God for and wait on opportunities to try to see it perfected in the city where you live, places where you pastor. It doesn't hurt you to come apart a while before you come apart. It doesn't hurt you to have a work stoppage, Lord, Holy Ghost leading every now and then, just to come see what's going on. Just get refocused and retooled. I think restoration was a part of what the Apostle Paul knew that young Timothy needed. You know, he was having some trouble anyway. And Paul wrote to him about that. He was a young man in a grown man world. And Paul was trying to help him. Don't be intimidated by this. The call of God's on your life. You do what God called you to do. So Paul knew that Timothy needed some refreshing. He knew he needed restoration, renewal, revival, reestablishing some things. Hey, the apostleship that God had given to Paul, just like he did to Peter, was soon to depart from Paul. He soon would be beheaded from that position that he had. Timothy and some of the others would take charge. They need on occasion to come apart. Come apart. I didn't realize a lot of what in the early days, and still now, if pastor's anywhere near me, which means three states, I'm going where he is. That's been 20 years. If Pastor Baldwin is somewhere within 8-hour drive or 2-3 states, I'm going where he is. And what's going to happen to the work? It's going to stop a while. Because I'm going to go, I need to get a renewal. I've not been around Pastor Baldwin that I haven't gotten some strength from. I have not been renewed. My vision, have not my hunger, that revival in my own life, from personal, my wife and I, my family, my home. And so I just look for opportunities to go in there as well and just be around it, watch him, see what God's doing in his life, see how he interacts with people and things of this nature. Several years ago, one of the anniversary services, it's amazing, you should sing this. We wanted our pastor to take a picture with some of the church membership. Man, they just wore him out. But stoic, he and Miss Baldwin stood there and perfect pose for now. It's incredible. It was incredible. So their pose for now. I mean, they brought the whole family up, and then they wanted to get a shot with mom and the girls, and then a shot with the guys. It was crazy. And they didn't say a word. They just stood there for all that period of time. It was amazing. It was a blessing to our church. Not only restoration, but refreshment. To give strength, to invigorate is what we need. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 16, he said, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." He often refreshed me. Refreshed me. And he said he wasn't ashamed of my chain. Well, we need that, don't we? We need to come apart before we come apart. And we need to get restored in restoration. And we need to be refreshed. But I think there may have been something else going on in Paul's life at this time. He said to Timothy in verse number 11 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he said, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Wow, that's amazing that's there. That's amazing. Now, Paul's on his way out of here. He has a care for the churches. The minute he said that, a burden for the churches, heart for God, heart, missions, Jerusalem, all those things were going on in his heart and mind. But the Lord told him to ask for John Mark to come. Now, how did he know John Mark would go? What did Paul have the confidence that John Mark would want to see him? Why does he want to see John Mark? And how is John Mark now profitable for the ministry? I think some restitution was going to be made. I think that in the heart of this dear man of God, there were some things need to be corrected. There were some things need to be done. So we said, Timothy, preach the word, prepare to witness, plan for the welfare of mankind, propose a works shortage. And then he said, then we see the proclamation of the Spirit's witness working through Apostle Paul. Bring him. I need to talk to him. Now, maybe you're not familiar in Acts chapter number 15. Go over there a minute with me. Acts chapter 15. I think you're familiar with the story. I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened. But this man was profitable now to Paul, and he was not before. In Acts chapter number 15, verse number 38, after the Jerusalem council, when the Spirit of God began to work in their life, and Barnabas and Paul began to testify of their first missionary journey, what the Lord had done there as well, and great fruit were added to the Lord's account there as well. Churches established for God's honor and glory, and they get to Jerusalem, and they testify to the Jewish brethren that they weren't really sure whether or not these new Gentiles should be circumcised according to the law of Moses, and if there were any other precepts that they should be after, and how closely should they get to the Judaism and Jews. And the Holy Ghost of God sealed all that for them. And they knew this. They were going to have to deal with fornication, and we're still fighting that. They're going to have to deal with these sacrifices, these blood offerings and things of this nature. They had to deal with all those things. And so after they finished that, then now all of a sudden Paul felt led of the Lord to get ready to go back and revisit the churches to see how they were doing. Acts chapter number 15, we'll begin reading here in verse 36. "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought that not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So here we see the dispute was over John Mark, which was Barnabas' cousin, we believe, nephew, cousin. And it was over that young man who started out with them in Acts chapter number 13 and went into the work. And in some either 25% in, halfway in, he wanted to go back home. Not knowing why. I don't know if he missed his mama. Don't know that. I don't know if he got afraid. Don't know that. I don't know if he was homesick. We don't know what happened. But all we know is he got away. And knowing what we know about Paul, that equal quitting. John Mark quit on God. John Mark quit on Paul. John Mark quit on his uncle. John Mark quit on God. And as far as Paul was concerned, he is a liability to us, Barnabas. Leave the quitter at home. And any good fundamentalist could decipher that. Leave this quitter at home. We don't need a quitter in the ministry. We don't need a man that won't tithe. We don't need a man that won't give an offering. We don't need a man that's not a soul winner. We don't need a man that can't pray. Leave him at home. But Barnabas decided that I've been praying with him, been working with him. He's all right now. Paul said, I don't see any evidence of it. Leave him at home. He ain't brought anybody down now since I've been here. The offering has been consistent. It ain't spiked up. It ain't doubled or tripled. I don't think he's doing anything. Leave him at home. This might be the closest thing of regret that Apostle Paul you might find in the Bible. I don't know all my regrets. I'm sure I have some. Maybe you don't know the regrets that you have had in the ministry. But I think as we get closer to the time that we know for sure we ain't going to be around here long, I think some of those regrets may come to us, may come to the forefront of our hearts and forefront of our mind. And to get to the point of where we want to get some things right. We want to make sure everything's right between me and the Lord, us and the Lord. And there's no way if we're going to cherish our relationships in ministry, and if Paul would cherish his relationship in the ministry, there is no way that he could depart this thing without getting some things right with Barnabas as it relates to John Mark. The Bible tells us this in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible said in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at what? All times. When things are going good, friends are love. That's how you're going to know where they are. When things are going bad, friends are going to love. Friends don't need explanation. They just need to know if everything's all right. They just need to know what they need to do. You don't have to explain a lot to a friend. Not to someone that's your friend. You don't have to explain a lot to them. You just need to be willing to accept their embrace and their love and be willing to fellowship with them and let them know that you're going to be okay, that you're going to be able to make this thing with a friend. When you're dealing with a friend, now you're dealing with some acquaintance or an enemy of yours or whatever else, they want to hear this thing because they want to make sure you're right. An enemy, an acquaintance, they just want to make sure that it's right by God, and they'll be the judge of it. They'll tell you whether or not you really got right with God. But a friend, you won't have to go through all that. No, they love it at all times. A friend loveth at all times. And thank God for this, because a brother is born for adversity. Thank God for it. And you're not going to have, we've heard this for a long time. Teenagers, listen to me now. You're not going to have a whole lot of friends. And the one you have now, you better be suspect. Because over your lifetime, you won't have a handful of friends. Over your lifetime, you won't have but a handful. I'm talking about someone that will love you and support you at all times, even when you are wrong. That's why you're not going to have many of them. They'll support you when you're wrong. A friend will. When you're wrong. You won't have but a handful of those a lifetime. And if there was ever a man that was a friend to Apostle Paul, it was Barnabas. If there was ever a man that was a friend to the Apostle Paul, it was Barnabas. As a Cobra guy, man, I've had a time of my life for these 20 years. I mean, I've just had a time. Now, I'm not suggesting, I don't think it's ending. I don't think I'm at the end of my life. But I'm just simply saying, because of the subject, it allowed me to kind of reflect a little bit, which, as I told you, I don't like to do because it waters me up. But I've been, over the last 20 years, man, I had time in my life. This has been absolutely incredible. This journey, it's been absolutely incredible. It's been incredible. From with who I am, where I've come from, my cousin, we've been knowing each other 35 years. This is incredible, man. Not just to share the journey with him and his family, our family share the journey together, but just to be in it. It's incredible. It's incredible. There's no way back in West Memphis, Arkansas, that could we have ever thought. But first of all, we'd be in the ministry because we didn't think our wife would do it, would have been with us, number one. These girls did not marry preachers. And the only preachers they knew were like those guys, and they knew what was coming, so they'd have got out of it before it got there. No way in the world. They didn't know that, number one. And number two, we didn't. We just wanted to be good husbands and fathers and make a little money and take care of our family and not have to live in the mama's house. Just make our own stuff, you know, make our own messes and so forth and on. We had no idea that God was leading like this. And let us get in on this, something like this. And our children serve God like they're serving God. We didn't know that. And then the friends. My family have endeared itself to Koba and his movements. And Koba's family friends have endeared themselves to my family. And it's obvious. We are closer than it appears. We're closer than it appears. Now listen now. I come from a dysfunctional one. So this is beautiful to me. I mean, we may not talk to each other for 5 months, but this is beautiful. Because I don't talk to my kinfolk for 5-6 months. So this is beautiful to me. I mean, it's only a few of you all that's come from a good home situation. Well, it bothers you, but this is wonderful. I mean, to reach somebody's hand that I hadn't seen in a little while, and they still embrace it, man. I praise God for that. That's wonderful. And many of us come from situations like that as well. But this has been absolutely marvelous. These years of COVID and the friends and family members and so forth. Has there been hard times? Sure. Has there been issues, personal? Yes, issues. What has made the difference? Brother Hart preached it years ago, Genesis chapter 13, verse 8. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. What is COVID all about? What about the COVID guys? We're brethren. We're brethren. We're together. We're brothers in Christ. Amen. We don't agree with everybody. We don't agree with each other on everything. But we are brethren. We love each other. We love the Lord. God has placed us together. Now, a number of us, and some have given away to other things, other loyalties. Men come from different backgrounds and situations where they have different loyalties that they have as well. And they've got different logics, different way in which they think and communicate as well. And there's some things that people have gotten themselves involved in, that they're involved in, whether good or bad, and they've given a heart to some things that some of us cannot do. That's fine. But the local New Testament church, they're calling these, that's not a man in COVID who've gone against their calling. The local New Testament church, the ministry of the local New Testament has a desire to see churches started, has a desire to see Black America reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has not faded. Has not faded. It has not faded. Different loyalties now. A lot of guys like this. There's some Redskin fans in here. He has the pastor. I mean, some Eagles fans. I mean, that's some guys that like Atlanta and stuff like that. You should have grown in grace enough to get over that by now, but South, men, South, Cowboys, South, South. It rises and sits there. The star. Yeah, but different loyalties, okay? Different loyalties. Think a different way. Have some other opinions about some things. But I don't think they've lost their desire for the church, for the local New Testament church and the local New Testament church ministry. We've not lost our loving memories of our friendships in the ministry. We have not. And I don't think Paul did either. And on the departing days, he looks back at his friends. Three things about that. First of all, they're friends given to us in ministry. They're friends that have been given to us in ministry. Not going to go much farther here, but Acts chapter number 11, you know the story of Barnabas and how Paul and Barnabas got associated. It really goes back to where Paul was saved by God's grace, and he was preaching the word of God, and the rest of the brethren were a little bit afraid of him. But Barnabas came to him and encouraged him. And Barnabas got a leading of the Lord to go to Antioch because God was doing something in Antioch, and he saw the God there, and he saw God's grace, and he thought about his friend Saul, Paul. And the Bible said in Acts chapter number 11 and the verse number 23, talking about Barnabas, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, who was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. He had to find him. And when he found him, he persuaded him to come to Antioch. For I don't know if Barnabas knew that from Antioch, Paul's vision and calling would be manifested. I don't know. But there was something that the Holy Ghost of God did in Barnabas' heart that led him to seek Saul, to bring him to this particular church where he was the leader of and could have had, under the Lord Jesus Christ, the preeminence in ministry. And he brought Saul there to understanding that at some point he would have to share the glory with Paul. I ain't never heard a pastor say that. I don't know one do that. That would go get a fellow that is as capable as you are and maybe more, because you know God's hands on him and you know God's calling is upon him, with an understanding that you're going to have to share the glory of the ministry with him. Woo! That's a tall order right there. I mean, you got shown up to be persuaded. That's tall order. Tall order. Every pastor here knows the story of a pastor who tried to help a young man. The young man tried to cut his throat in the pulpit. Everybody knows about that. Pastor go away, put the young guy in charge. The young guy preaches against the pastor, try to steal his work. Everybody knows about that. And so that's why some of you young fellas now, it's going to be tough on you young fellas now to get through this thing, because we've heard about y'all. We know how you work. You young guys work like the Jehovah's Witness. You're still in Baptist, what you do. We've heard about you guys. And so you guys are going to prove yourself. Get here and work and labor, sweat, get it done. Because the testimony of you young preachers have come before you. And you young Cobra guys got to change that stuff. Let them know that God, man, can trust you. If he feel like the leadership of the Lord's on your life, he bring you in, try to help you, then you don't destroy the work. You don't hinder the work. You come and work and labor and be a help and be a blessing and share in the ministry that God has for you there as well. Friends has given us to the ministry. Barnabas was one of those who was given to the Apostle Paul. He showed great sensitivity of the Lord in his life. A man that was obviously spirit-led and in a sensational Christian was Barnabas. A man of God from Acts chapter 4 all the way. Boy, he was tremendous. He was tremendous. He was a friend. He wasn't worried about his ministry. He wasn't troubled about Saul's witness at all. It was only God's work, God's presence that was before him. And he brought in a helper that would transform Antioch. And we're blessed because of it. We have friends that's given us to the ministry. Then we have friends that are a byproduct of ministering. This is where Timothy come in on that second missionary journey. After the dispute with Barnabas, the breakup of that wonderful team, here we find Timothy given to Paul. I don't know if he was given to soothe him. I don't know why, but he was a gift of that first missionary journey, a gift to the Apostle Paul. Paul took Timothy on in his ministry. He would replace maybe the guilt associated with Paul. I don't know, but in my mindset, I'm thinking about this along this line. It may not be correct, but I'm thinking about here Timothy is now, and someone that Paul could nurture and mature and help. Just like Barnabas was a help to him, and now he can be a help to Timothy, Titus, and some of the other men that came on a little later on. Then there are friends that allow us to maintain a vibrant ministry that God gives us, a testimony, a real heart and a real testimony of ministry. And this is where I think John Mark comes in the latter part of this. And we could see where he was troubled. We could see what went on in his life. But then at the latter stage, he calls him back. At some point in time, we begin to realize that these temporal things are not worth the ministry. At some point in time, now it may take a while now, but some point in time we give up on that stuff. And Brother Mike was preaching the other night. He says, hey, man, look, there's temporal things. Whatever agreements, whatever was broken, whatever disagreements, whatever issues concerned, whatever problems, whatever assumptions, all those kind of things. At some point in time, as men, you have to reevaluate some things and begin to realize it's not worth it. A number of years ago, I told my wife in other situations as well, and I said, man, look, there is a friendship that I have. Cannot and will not be threatened. That's the relationship I have with my pastor. Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. Now, personally, you may not have that relationship with your pastor. That's fine, but I do with mine. And these are not expectations. These are not demands. These are choices that I made. I gave Pastor Vito power over my life years ago, 22 years ago. And he still has it. And there's a relationship that I have with my pastor. It's not a negotiation. This relationship I have with him. Now, he has a relationship with me, too, but they ain't got nothing to do with that. This is a commitment I made to him. And there's no problems that's going to arise that's going to destroy that relationship. In other words, there will come a time, and there always going to come a time where there are going to be challenges. And then my shallow is going to lean this way all the time. There's no right or wrong. It's a commitment.
That's all right.
See, it's not a right or wrong. It's a commitment that I made to pastor. Now, I've learned over the years that he's not going to compromise scripture. He's not going to compromise foundational truths. I'm not even worried about that. And so there are going to be some temporal things that we're going to face, and he's going to face, and I'm going to face, and other folk are going to face as well. He'll never ask me to choose sides, and if he does, I won't even hear him. He knows better than that. He'll never do that. He'd never ask me to choose a side. That'll never be a conversation whatsoever. But I'm always supporting Pastor Baldwin. Why? Because he's my pastor. I always support Pastor Baldwin. You said, well, preacher, you don't always agree with him. Don't have to. I always support him. It's not an agreement thing. It's a support thing. See. And COBA, I'm always for COBA. Always. And church planning, I'm always. And missionary, I'm always for. Black, well, I don't care what color they are. I'm always for that. Why? This New Testament, it's Bible. And I'll always be for that. And the temporal things are there. We may have to get together. We may not have to. We can't talk about a particular subject. We can't visit a particular thing as well. And that's fine and dandy. That's a whole lot of stuff to talk about. But relationship now, well, that's been given to us in ministry. We don't lose those. No, ain't no way in the world I throw away a 20-year, 25-year relationship. Ain't no way in the world I do that. It ain't worth that. I don't know what I don't know. No way. That makes no sense to me at all. Can't do that. No way. I've learned some things about that. And so the temporal thing, those disagreements with Paul and Barnabas, the disagreement, the split, the problem that was associated with that as well. At the end of it all, Paul, I believe, went back to his relationship with Barnabas, and what was left was John Mark. Just like David and Jonathan, you remember? Mephibosheth? Is there anybody else left of Jonathan's household? We've not made an agreement among the COBA guys, but there's not one of their children that could not call one of these pastors and get just about anything we have. They didn't want it. Now, I shouldn't have told them that, but that is the truth. It is an absolute unwritten law that if your daddy loves you, I do. If your family loves you, I do. And we are uncles and aunts. And we're there for. It would be. I mean, just. And all of the kids who've labored, been faithful around the things of God, you have uncles and aunts. And we're here together. It's no agreement or disagreement. Now, I understand now. The shadow always falls, leans. Pastor Louis Baldwin, his wife, family, Crossroads Baptist Church, Conference on Evangelizing Black America, missions, church planning, getting the gospel. You need to understand that. We talk about anything, but I want you to understand, we may not come to any agreement, but we can talk in fellowship about anything and at any place, any time. But you got to understand where, if there is a such thing as loyalty, where it's going to fall, always. Now, someone's got to toughen up a little bit and understand we're dealing with carnal people. And we're dealing with a bunch of whine crybabies. And those of us who've passed any length of time, you got so many of them in your church, you ought to be used to this. Somebody pull you in the corner, going to whine and crying about something as well. You get used to that. You see it all the time. And you tell them what you would hope somebody would tell one of yours. Sit down, get your Bible open, and listen to the man of God as he preached the word of God. Stay in your place until God directs you to do something else. And when God directs you to do something else, be Christian about it. Be a man about it. Sure. Healing comes. It may take a while, but healing does, in fact, come. And the testimony of the Lord reveals in people that have second chances. What a beauty we've seen just this week about second chances, second opportunities. And we know God's a God of second chances. Right? Right. We need to practice what we preach. There's going to come a time where we're just going to have to man up, Christian up, and be brethren. For we be brethren. Cherishing friendships and ministry and memories of for 20 plus years, there is no way a guy that's not an absolute animal, heartless animal, could be involved in this as long as we've been involved in it and not have a heart for it or want to see it and be involved in it. It's just not there. It's impossible. It's an impossibility. There are some disagreements. There's some different logics about some things. Other guys have different loyalties now. Everybody's got some different backgrounds all over the place about some things. But the local church, oh, we're straight there. Everything's straight on that local church. It's mission. It's mandate. Manual. Music. We good. Those disagreements, we got to work around that. For we be brethren. Our Father, we thank you so much for the word of God this morning. Thank you for the time that you've given us to share with our family and visitors and friends who've gotten in on it as well. And Lord, I trust that they might be able to use this at some point in time, Lord, in their life. They'll have a pastor. They'll have other preacher boys. They'll have affiliation with colleges and different things as well. And I pray that there were some things that I shared this morning that will help them wherever they are and help whoever listens, wherever they listen from. I trust it to be a help and a blessing to them. Thank you, Lord, for being so good and kind to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.